go? Can I go somewhere else? You know, I just never cared for it. Or even at my home church, I love hearing from my pastor, and there's nothing worse than watching your pastor come in and you're getting ready. And because we're only home, you know, maybe 12, 14 Sundays in the month. And when I'm home, I'd like to hear from my pastor. And so you're sitting there, and then all of a sudden you see some other guy come in with a lapel on, and you're like, great, awesome. I'm not even going to hear from my pastor this morning. So if you feel the same way, I apologize. Give me about 5 or 10 minutes before you leave. And if you like it, stay. If you don't, please stay. But you know what? This morning, you know, like Pastor said, God's been doing some amazing things. And for those of you that don't know, there's over 100 reasons of why I know that we should be here this week. Over 100 people have given their life to the Lord. And it's been an amazing thing. And you know, I will say this, I can't be any more excited because a lot of things that we get to do, and yes, we have one more night here, and I'm excited about that. And a lot of times people ask me all the time, well, man, don't you get tired? Don't you get, yeah, I get tired. I get tired. I'm a human being. I was not on the road not too long ago, and this kid, we were signing autographs, and I cut myself, and you know, get a little bit of blood there, and this kid goes, Mom, they are real. And I was like, well, what did you think that we were? You know, it's just like we're not like machines up there that don't ever get hurt, don't ever get bruised, or don't ever get injured. But yes, we do get injured. And yes, there's days I get up. But there's also days that I am so motivated. And this morning, I hope to do two things. As my dad was a pastor, and as my dad would begin to relay things to me, he would say, as a pastor, one, I want to motivate my people to do something amazing, but I also want to encourage them in the walk that they have. So this morning, I hope first and foremost you're motivated something by something that God's given me to say. And second of all, when you leave this place, I hope that you're encouraged to do something you've never done before in your life. And this morning, I just simply want to just open up. If you guys have got your Bibles, or just this is just going to be just a little scripture I'm going to use right here. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10. Because a lot of us, as we sit here, you know, and we do the things that we do, and we go throughout life, and maybe you were a lot like me, and you were kind of wondering, you know, well, what am I here for? You know, a lot of us, we want to be involved in ministry. And when I was a young person, I wanted to be involved in ministry. I wanted to be just like my dad. Now, however, I didn't want to preach like my dad, but here I am. And, you know, I was a very shy young person. I'm still shy to this day, believe it or not. I'm probably the shyest person you ever meet in your life. And a lot of you guys have a hard time believing that. But if you could spend 5 minutes with me alone, there would probably be like 2 words said. That's just the way I am. I'm telling you, I'm extremely quiet. If you don't start the conversation, guess what? There will not be one. And it's just the way it is. And so as I begin to sit there and go through life, you know, as my dad was a pastor, I really wanted to be a part of ministry. I really wanted to do a lot of different things, but God's given us all kind of different things. God's given us all kind of different tools. And I want to encourage you this morning, no matter where you sit here in the church, whether you're the youngest or the oldest, whether you feel most qualified or least qualified, God's got something for you. Because ministry doesn't just happen right here, and ministry doesn't just happen up here. Ministry happens every single day. Ministry... Excuse me. Ministry happens every single day in America with all the, regardless of everything that goes on. Everything that you do can absolutely be ministry, and it's not a big deal about what it is. Because a lot of people say, well, you know what? Hey, I can't sing. Well, don't. Please. And a lot of people say, well, I can't teach. Well, you know what? You don't have to. Because in the kingdom of God, it's not about what you can't do. It's about what you can do. Because God's given every single one of you guys a gift and a talent. And I will say this, this young girl right here, she's got talent. You can sing like it ain't nobody's business. I'm telling you right now. I was sitting there doing worship, and I started out over here, but I just kept finding myself itching it over here so I could hear her sing a little bit more. And then I found the perfect zone, like right behind her. I was like, okay, this is good. This is good right here. Thank you. And I'm telling you, I love worship, and I love people that love to worship. And I was just like, my Lord, this girl is amazing. I was like, who is behind me? Because this girl can sing. I didn't want to turn around, but... You've got a great voice, and God's given you a talent. But let me tell you this. This is exactly, if you've ever wondered, I want to fix this question. If you've ever wondered, or if you've ever asked yourself, what am I here for? You know, people just say, I live such a mundane life. I get up, brush my teeth, I go to work, come home, have a meal, go to bed, do the same thing every single day. Well, what am I here for? Well, here's going to answer your question right here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works in which He has prepared in advance for us to do. So you know what God's done? God has prepared things for you in advance. But he's made us to do what? He created us for what? Good works. Now, if I could translate that, I would say this. God's created us for ministry because that's what God has created you to do. And this morning, God has established something in your life and there's something that he wants to do, but he has to be able to use you. As you sit in here this morning, you're probably wondering, well, how can I be used? Well, I'm going to tell you this right here. If you'll take your Bibles and go to Matthew, this is where this message is coming from. This morning, I just simply want to preach a message called Don't Tuck Away Your Talent. Young person, mom and dad, every single one of you people in here this morning, God's given you a talent. God's given you a gift. God's given you something that you can use. And this morning, I'm going to simply ask you, don't tuck away your talent. Because as you hear this story in the Bible, it's the story of the talents. And as you begin to read this, it goes something like this. In chapter 25, verses 14, it says, again, it will be like a man going into a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. You know, a lot of times people, they sit there and wonder, well, why does this guy have this? Or why does this guy? Well, that's what God's done. God has entrusted you with what he knows that you're going to use. God has given you talents. I don't know if there's, now there's 5 talent people, there's 2 talent people, and there's 1 talent people. Praise God. And a lot of people are like, well, yeah, I'm that 1 talent person. There's, I can cook, and that's about it. And then all of a sudden, you see those people that are 5 talent people, and sometimes they get on your nerves. Because it's just like, man, they can sing, they can teach, they can talk, they can preach. It's like, what can you not do? It's like everything they put their hand to, they're successful in. Well, that's a 5 talent person. And then you have your 2 talent people. And then you have just the people that God's given you. Guess what, though? Do you know what the Bible doesn't say? There was no 0 talent people. When you were created, when you were born, God established you with a talent. You were given that. You were given that talent. You were given that gift. And guess what it's up to you to do? To use that talent. And not just to use it, but to use it for the kingdom of God. Because there's a lot of people that have got some amazing talents, but they're not using it for the Lord. They tried the world's route. And they do the world's way of doing things. And this morning I'm telling you, God's given you something. And right here as we continue to read through verse 16, it says, the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. He doubled up. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. The master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge over many. Come and share the master's happiness. The man who had the 2 talents also came to the master and said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. I have gained 2 more. His master said to him, you have been faithful with a few things. I will give you charge of many. And then all of a sudden, here it is. Here's the one guy where a lot of us are. The one who received the 1 talent. And he's sitting there and he's like, well, you know, and he's got 1 talent. That's all he's got. And he kind of wants to protect it. And this is what he says. I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. That's the craziest part of this scripture. This guy gave him a talent. All of a sudden he's like, hey, I didn't do anything, but here you go. Here's the one you gave me. Like he was supposed to be surprised and be like, oh, thanks. That's awesome. No, he went and hid this talent. And all of a sudden he wants to just give that one little thing back because here it is. He says he's hard. He said he's difficult. And I know that you're a hard taskmaster. I know that you're doing all these different things. So I was scared and I was afraid. So I was afraid of probably trying to use it and then maybe not getting it back. I would rather just save this and give it back to you than to not have to give you anything. Now, don't you just think, I would love to think if the story went like this. Let's just say that guy took a chance and he took a risk and he lost it. And the master came back and he said, hey, master, you know what? I tried to do better with this, but I tried and I didn't succeed. Don't you think the master would have been like, hey, that's all right? Don't you think the master would have been like, hey, I appreciate you at least giving it a try. I at least appreciate you giving it a shot. But no, he didn't even do that. He sat there and he hid it. And then what happens here? This is what he says. This is what the master says to him. You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit in the banker. So at least when I returned, I could have received it back in interest. Take this talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has been given more, or he will be given in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him and thrown into this worthless service outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, let me tell you something. This morning, I just want to simply talk about a few principles that God has in your life. That's simply going to deal with these things right here that's happened in your life. The first thing I want to talk about is the principle of ownership. The principle of ownership, because here it is in verse 14. What is it that this man entrusted us with? It was his property. It was his goods. This man right here entrusted us. So here it is. He's got the sense of ownership. So what does he do? He entrusts you with things. God has given you things. It's not ours. It's his. Everything that we have belongs to the Lord. There's not things that I have. I'm not impressing God that I can break bricks. Because you know what? He gave me that talent. When I'm up there breaking bricks, God's not like, that was awesome. I cannot believe you did that. That is amazing. No, he's not doing that. All he's saying is, finally, you're doing what I called you to do. Thanks for getting on the bus. Thanks for doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because let me tell you something. There's a lot of people in this world that just want to hold on to what they have. And they think it's theirs. I don't know if you ever noticed or not, but newborn babies, I love them. I love, they're so little and they're so cute. And you're sitting there and you're holding them. But man, what are they, even as a newborn baby, it's like when they're born, all they do is grab. They grab and they just want to touch. They just want to feel. They just want to know what's going on. Women, you know what I'm talking about. You ever held a baby and they grab your earring? Oh, hey. You ever been sitting there before? And they just want to grab. They just want to touch. They just want to hold on. But that's how we are as human beings. We find the littlest things and we don't want to lose it. So what do? We hold on as tight as we can. But you know, sadly enough, I've been to a lot of funerals, and you know, I've never seen anybody buried with a clenched fist. Because you know what? You can't take anything with you. And so when you realize that everything you've been given on this earth is God-given, and it's not anything that you can do, and when you realize that God's given you a talent, you'll be able to realize, hey, if it is singing, I'll sing for the Lord. If it's given, man, I will give to make sure that this church is more abundant than it's ever been. If it's teaching, I want to teach every young person that I can. I want to teach every adult that I can. If it's cooking, man, I will cook every week if I have to. I will have cookies ready for visitors, whatever it is. If you can make a good cup of coffee, go make some coffee. Do what you got to do. But a lot of times people think that what they do is not important. Let me tell you exactly how important it is. One of my best friends in high school, this kid right here was huge. I don't know how it happened because he was the son of our janitor at the church. Our janitor was like this tall. And his son was this tall. And I was just like, I don't see how that happened. I just don't. It was so funny because he would always hug his mom and dad. And they were like right here like little kids. And you're just like, that just ain't even normal. I just don't even know what happened right there. Are you sure you weren't adopted? You know. And so as we sat there, we would talk. Let me tell you something. I'll never forget, he got a little discouraged because, man, I'm telling you, this man, he took pride in our church. I mean, he cleaned it. It was spotless. I'm telling you, it was amazing. Sunday morning after Sunday morning, every time we had church service, he was there. And I'll never forget, we were sitting there talking one Sunday, and it's just only the way God can do. He's like, man, I was sitting there one Saturday afternoon. I went in there to mess around on the piano and play around with some of my friends. They were trying to do some music. And he was in there cleaning, and I said, hey, Brother Jose, how you doing today? And man, he had the saddest look on his face. And I was like, man, okay, something's not going good. He goes, sometimes I get frustrated. Sometimes I just get a little down. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be something more to what I'm doing. And I looked at him, I said, you play an important role. I was like, you know, you play a huge role in our church. Don't just think because you're cleaning that you're lower than anybody else. God doesn't see you any different than anybody else. He doesn't say, oh, well, there's the janitor. Okay, well, there's the minister of music. There's the youth pastor, and there's the pastor. And no, let me tell you something. We're all doing ministry. And it was like clockwork. Let me tell you something. This is how God works. It was like clockwork. It was probably one of the coolest scenarios I'd ever seen God work in my life. Because that Sunday morning, we sat there, and my dad was preaching. And after the service, we went back to our green room, where we have our visitors. And the visitors were sitting there talking. And my dad was having a conversation with somebody over there. And I was having a conversation over here. My dad said, hey, Matt, come here just a second. So I come over there and talk to him. And he goes, you're never going to believe this. He goes, these people right here actually came to see the power team. And they're here in our church now. And they want to become members. And I was like, sweet. And I got to introduce myself and talk to them. And I said, well, what's the thing? I said, what really kind of sold you? Is this kind of where you saw the power team? He goes, no. He said, to be honest with you. He said, come here, honey. He grabbed his wife and his three little girls came over there. He said, to be honest with you. He said, I love the worship. Your dad's a great pastor. He said, but baby, I need you to tell him why we want to come to church here. She goes, I want to tell you this right now. She said, we walked into this church today. And you people were very nice. She said, but when I walked into the restroom and my little girls went in and that place was spotless. She said, I'm talking about the seats were as clean as you could be. She's like, man, I was just sitting here like, man, if this church cares this much about the toilets, they got to care about my kids or they got to care about me. And so let me tell you this. I was like, hold on, you just stay right there. And look, I ran back into the sanctuary and I grabbed Jose. I said, Jose, I need you in the green room real quick. He goes, somebody spill something? I said, No, I need you to come. I need you to come back here just a second. Jose went back there and I'm telling you, he was all little 5'1" and everything. He walked in there. I said, hey, I said, actually, this is the custodian, the janitor of our church. I said, I want to introduce you. I said, you see this family right here? I said, you want to know why they're coming to church? He goes, why? I said, because of you. He said, what? I said, yeah, because of you. He said, no way. No way. I said, tell him why you came. And the lady told him, and dude, let me tell you something. He walked in that room 5'1", but he left 7'2". I'm telling you, because he was excited about what God had done. He finally was encouraged. But you know what you have to do? You have to take ownership. It's the principle of ownership with your talent. The second thing I want to talk about is God-given talents. This is what he says in verse 15. It says, according to his ability. According to his ability. Now, if you go to Romans real quick. No, you don't have to flip. I'll just go ahead and read it to you. Unless you want to flip, I love hearing pages turn. Romans 12:6 says this, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to us. You know, there's been some God-given talents, there's been some God-given gifts, and you know what? God definitely created you to be you. God created you to be you. He didn't create you to be somebody else. My dad always said that. My dad said, Matt, you be you. Don't try to be your brother. Don't try to be your other brother. Don't try to be me. Don't try to be some athlete, you see, because God didn't create you to be him. If he wanted you to be him, he would have made you them. He said, so he wants you to be you. And every single one of you guys in this room, guess what? God wants you. You are special. You have been uniquely made. And you know what? I thank God everybody doesn't look like me. You know, people say, I mean, I praise God that we don't all just come out of one mold because we would be one hot mess. But I'm telling you this morning, God has made us all uniquely for a reason. You look the way you do for a reason. Your hair is the way it is for a reason. Your body is the way it is for a reason. The way you speak is for a reason. And you know what? God created you for that reason and for that potential so that he's given you that gift so you can reach somebody who probably somebody else couldn't reach. And when God looked at you, you know what he said? I will never do that again. But he means it in a good way. Because he wants you to be different and he wants you to be special. And you know what? This morning, I'm telling you right now, not only is it the principle of ownership, but it's those God-given talents. Because there's talents that we have that we can't earn. There's talents that we have that we can't. You just can't teach certain things. You can't teach passion. You can't teach desire. There's certain things, I realize that, growing up and playing football, there's certain things you can't teach. There are some kids that just have that desire. There are certain kids that just have that heart to do something different. And there are certain kids that just have a will. And you cannot teach that. There's certain things you can't teach. They're just strictly God-given. And the third thing I want to talk about is the principle of accountability. If you'll see verse 19 right here. It says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled his accounts with them. What are you doing with what God gave you? What are you doing with what the gifts God's given you? What is it? Are you accountable? Are you sitting there this morning? Are you practicing the principle of accountability? Are you being accountable? Are you being held for those things that God's given you? When God looks at you and he stands in front of you and he asks you, what have you done with the gifts I've given you? What are you going to say? Are you going to be like the guy with the 5 gifts and be like, God, hey, listen, you know what? I went to work. Dude, I was breaking some bricks. I was speaking in schools. I was preaching. I was teaching. And I was doing all kind of crazy stuff, Lord, and here it is. And he'll be happy. Or are you going to be like that guy with the 1 talent? Are you going to be like, you know what, I thought I was on the right track. But Lord, let me tell you something. You know what, if you would have waited one more week, I was going to put that talent to use. I'm telling you, if you would have just waited, you'd have no idea, God, what I was about to do. I was about to make you happy. I was about to do the most amazing thing if you would have just given me one more week. But no, let me tell you something. When God looks at you, are you going to be accountable for the things that God's given you and the gifts that he's blessed you with? You're going to stand there and have to be accountable every single time. I'm telling you, when God looks at me, I want him to be proud. I want to be that guy that can return double of what was been given to him. Now, it hasn't always been that way because, like I said, very shy. Not the most outspoken person in the world. But you know what? When I realized that it wasn't about me anymore, when I realized that God's kingdom had nothing to do with me but everything to do with Him, things begin to change a little bit. Things begin to change a little bit in my life. And you know what? I'm going to be held accountable for the gifts God's given me. I'm going to be held accountable for the things I did or did not do. And when I stand before an almighty God, I want Him to be proud. I want Him to know that, hey, I blessed you with this and you turned around and you used every bit of it for my kingdom. The fourth thing I want to talk about is using. The principle of using. You know, here it is. We have talents, but do we use them? There's a lot of people that can do a lot of great things, but you know what? They're afraid of failure. And you know what I used to love? He said, you always have to try. You know, I love the little saying, the reason there's try, and you got all these different things that you're talking about in life, you only get triumph is try with a little umph. That's all it is. And that's the reason why people are successful, because you have to try. How did I know I could break bricks? I had to try. I didn't want to, but I did. How did I know I could break bricks with my head? I had to try. And let me tell you something. It was not fun. I was scared to death. I was literally scared to death. But thank God there was about 2,000 high school students in the room. And when you got that many kids in there screaming and cheering, you're like, okay, I can't let them down. I cannot fail at this. I'm going to send myself to the hospital before I miss. And I was sitting there, and I'll never forget, seeing a stack of concrete. And you know, how did I know I could blow up a hot water bottle? I had to try. And as you heard Sergeant Rock, Michael Turner, the other night talk, I talk to every rookie that we have, and I tell them, and I get up front and honest with them. I say, hey, listen, I'm a motivational speaker, so I want you to know this. I looked at him, I said, hey, it's not if you fail, it's when you fail. Because you're going to fail. And he looked at me, he's like, well, thanks. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a baseball bat you can't snap. There's going to be a phone book you can't rip. There's going to be a license plate that's not going to want to tear. There's going to be a stack of concrete you're going to hit and wish to God you never had hit it. And it's just the way it is. And I said, you're going to fail. But you know what the thing about it is? You got to keep trying. I said, you can't know what you're going to do unless you keep trying. You can't know what you can become unless you take that step. And you know what? I would rather shoot and miss every single day than to never shoot at all and have perfect accuracy. That's just the way I feel. That's the way I feel. You know, I don't mind. You know, failure is a huge stepping stone. I tell rookies all the time, I was like, the only way to learn in this ministry is failure. How do I know how not to hit bricks? Because I did it wrong one time. And that's all it took. One in a row. And I'm like, okay, won't do that again. And you try something else, and if it works, you're like, okay, good. Maybe that's the way I should do it. And all of a sudden you try again, and maybe something doesn't work. Okay, well, don't do that again. But the thing that I don't like, and maybe it's just like the football player coming out of me, is the same mistake over and over. I tell the guys all the time, if you're not failing, you're not trying. But if you're failing at the same thing, you need to turn the page. That's how I feel. And that's how I've always been in my life. But as you sit here, it's the gift of using. You have to use the things that God's given you. Because here it is, if you look in verse 21, it says this right here. His master replied, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the few things. And this morning you may say, well, man, I don't have much. But can I tell you something? The reason you don't have much, maybe because God's sitting here because He's giving you things and He's waiting for you to use it. Because once you're faithful over the small things, who knows what's around the corner? But if God can't trust you with $1,000, do you think He's going to drop $100,000 in your life? If God's blessed you and you can't tithe off the little that we get right now, what makes you think He's going to bring some huge blessing in your life? If you don't take care of the small things that God's given you, you know what? It's just like a friend. Me and Jamie are great friends. If I've got the ability to bless him and say I want to test him, and I say, hey, you know what? Hey, here's some clothes. I just want to buy you some clothes, man. I just want to go in there. I just want you to look good next time. You can go on a hot date or something, you know. You may have some girl you want to impress. And so we go shopping, and I want to buy him an outfit. And what happens next time I see him, what if it's just tattered, and it looks like he just went out and played touch football in it? I'd be like, dude, I am not ever buying you anything else in your life. I'll give you some gift cards, but you ain't getting nothing else from me. But what if he comes back, and next time it's all pressed, he looks nice, he's taking care of it, And man, he's like, man, you'll never believe, man, that date was awesome, man. I just felt a little bit better in the clothes I was in. You know what that does? That makes me want to give him more. And that's how God is. What are you doing? Are you using the gifts he's given you? And are you faithful with the small things? Because when you're faithful with the small things, that's when God elevates you to the bigger things. And that's what God wants to do in your life. And here it is. Here's the fifth thing, motivation. Now, a lot of people say, well, I need motivation. Now, I'm a motivational speaker, and I love motivating people. I love doing motivation stuff. I was motivated my entire life because I had two older brothers. They were motivation just to get out of the house. And I'm telling you, it was awesome. It was awesome growing up. I felt a lot. I felt a lot like some people in the Bible who was beaten a lot. But if you look at verse 25, it says this right here. So I was afraid. Did you know this? Fear. This isn't like some huge revelation. But fear can actually paralyze your talent. The fear of failure can actually paralyze the gifts that God's given you. Because as a person, we'll sit there and we'll look at our life and we'll think, well, what if I don't do this? What if I don't succeed? What if I try and it don't go well? As you sit there and you think about the fear in your life, have you ever known that God's given you something to do, but you don't do it out of fear? Like, because you're just afraid to fail. It's just the way it is. But have you ever noticed something? I don't know if you've ever had this happen in your life. It's happened in my life once and I learned my lesson. Has God ever given you something and you sit on it and you think, well, you start justifying things in your life. You start justifying, well, man, maybe God meant to give that to somebody else. God, maybe I don't know. And you start thinking about it. And then like 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, you're still praying about it. Like a month later, bam, somebody else has the same idea and they start working on it. And you're like, hold on, no, God did not. Oh, God gave me that. No, absolutely not. No. It's happened to me. But you know what happened? God was like, here, I want you to do this. You know what God did? He waited. He's like, well, let's just see what you do. But because of fear, I didn't do it. So you know what God did? God just went down the line. God said, if you won't do it, I'll have her do it. And this morning, I want to say something. Don't let fear paralyze your talent. Don't let fear. Here it is all of a sudden. If you're afraid to fail, you never know the success that you can become. I say it all the time to kids in schools. I love Michael Jordan. There's a lot of great statistics about Michael Jordan. There's a lot of great things that he did. He was my favorite athlete as I was a kid growing up. But if you don't realize this, there was a lot of failures in his life. And he was not afraid to fail. He said some of the greatest things. He said some of the coolest things. And I'll never forget when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, he said this right here. He said, in my life, in my career as an NBA star, the greatest basketball player in the world, he said, I missed over 7,000 shots in my career. And as he said that, I was like, man, maybe he wasn't as good as I thought he was. And then he said, in my career, I've lost over 300 games. He said, in my career, my teammates have passed me the ball 32 times to hit a game-winning shot, and I missed. But then he said something pretty cool. He said this right here. He said, the reason I'm a success is because of my failures. And he said, now I realize something in life. He said, you will always miss 100% of the shots that you never take. And he said, the reason why I'm a success today is because even though I missed, listen to this, even though I missed 7,000 shots, I made over 21,000. Even though I lost 300 games, we won over 1,000. Even though I missed 32 game-winning shots, I made 61 in my career. Six of them were for NBA titles. So let me tell you something. This man was a success because he wasn't worried about his failures. And you know what? He didn't let fear of missing that last shot take its toll. Yeah, I may have missed the last six shots, but I'm about to take this seventh one if you'll give me the ball. And I'm telling you, a lot of you guys are sitting there today, don't let fear paralyze your gift. Don't let fear paralyze your talent. Because there's a lot of things God's given you, and until you step out and do it, you're not going to be able to know what you can do. And like I told Michael Turner last night, I said, he tried to do a head break. And it did work. He hit a stack of five and he broke three. And you know what I told him? I wasn't like, man, you loser. I can't believe you. Did you just embarrass me in front of everybody? No, I didn't do that. You know what I said? I said, hey, your first one's out of the way. So you know what? You know you've at least tried it now. So guess what? Next time you're going to have a little more confidence. And the next time you're going to be a little more confident. And the next time, next thing you know, you'll be doing five like it ain't nothing. I'm telling you. And it's the way it is in God's kingdom. The more you step, the more faithful you get. The more faithful you get, all of a sudden God begins to build you up. And can I tell you this today? It's not the fact that you may not be less qualified, because I know one thing. God does not call the qualified, but He will qualify His called every single day. I'm telling you this right now. I believe that more than anything. Because there's always people in life that say, well, what if somebody can do it better? Guess what? They can. There is somebody that can do it better, but God didn't call them. Am I the greatest speaker on the power team? Absolutely not. Am I the greatest preacher in the world? Absolutely not. But God has me here for a reason. God has me here because this is where He's called me to do, and this is what He's qualified me to do. And I'm just simply walking out in the things that God's given me. As we talk about number six right here, the gift and the principle is if you don't use it, you will lose it. You've probably heard that said a thousand times. My mom used to tell me that all the time. She used to make me sing all the time. I mean, I was just like, I felt like I was the puppet. You pull the string back and he walks out and does his thing. My mom used to make us sing all the time. And man, let me tell you something. Now, I love music. I love music. And I believe the Bible says make a joyful noise. But there were times I didn't want to sing. I didn't want to. I'm like, Mom, it's early in the morning. I don't know the words. I try to use every excuse I had. But my mom, she'd always throw this out there. Hey, listen, don't forget, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. God will take that gift away from you. She used to use that on me all the time, and I was so scared to death that I would go sing. She was a very smart woman, very manipulative. Gifts most women have, amen. Praise God. No, I'm just kidding. A lot of people were like, hey, oh, no, I'm kidding. I'm not saying amen to that. I'm kidding. I'm not saying amen. I'm not kidding. Right here, verse 28. It says this. This is what the Bible says, and this is what the story says. This is what really grabbed my attention. Verse 28, it says, take the talent from him. Is that fair? As I began to read that story, I was like, is that fair? How is it that you take the talent from this one person? He don't have anything. You've given this guy five, he turns into ten. You've given this guy two, he turns into four. You give this guy one, he just buries it, doesn't do anything with it. He's scared to death. He don't want to make the guy mad. He gives him the one back, and what does the guy do? He doesn't say, hey, man, great. No, he says, first of all, you're lazy and you're no good. Thanks for being a bum and not doing anything with what I've given you. And now I'm going to take it from you. And not only am I going to take it from you, I'm going to give it to the guy that has 10 talents. When I first read that story, I was like, that's a little jacked up. Because, I mean, this guy's already got a corner office. He's got a view. He just got a signing bonus. He's got his own parking place. And now you're giving him another talent. How does that happen? Because you want to know what? Most of the times, those people that have got those five talents, they're doing something for the kingdom of God. And if you look at people that are constantly being blessed, you want to know why? Because they're constantly stepping out. They're constantly doing something different. They're constantly growing. And people, sometimes we look at them and we're like, gosh, that guy's just truly blessed. That woman is truly blessed. You want to know why? Because they are walking out the gifts. They are being accountable. They're using the gifts. And they're not sitting there storing up their gifts and their treasures up and saying, well, man, maybe I'll use it one day. They're being a gift to God. And this morning, I'm going to challenge you to use what God's given you. Because if you don't use it, I promise you, not only will you lose it, but God will take it away. And you know what? I'm going to say something this morning, and I want to share a story just personally. But before I do, I want to encourage you as a Christian, we're not like some pastors and evangelists. We're not like some superhuman person. We have ups and downs too. And a lot of times people look at you and they may say, Pastor, man, I don't understand how you're up all the time. I don't understand how you can get up and preach all the time. Do you have your bad days? Yes. Yes, I have bad days. I have days where there's times I've even questioned if I was a Christian or not. I just had those bad days where it's just like, not that I was out doing anything. I was just like, man, I just don't feel like a Christian. I just don't. And I don't care if you're Billy Graham, I don't care who you are, from the youngest person to the oldest person in this room, we all struggle with keeping a spiritual edge in our life. And you know what? It was so funny to me because, and if you think about things in your life, you think about all the different things, this is me and Riley, the guy that's up here, Big Country, he and I are roommates. And we've got this mailbox key that I hate. It is from the devil. Because Our mailbox key has obviously been there since time has begun. I think Moses grinded it out. But the thing is about it is, you ever notice when you first get a key, it's real sharp? I mean, it's like when they watch them making a key, pop, 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 pop. It's so funny, man. It's, I'm like, man, that's awesome watching them make a key. And when you first use it, it's great. Well, as you get different keys, as you're around different keys, they rub up against other keys. And what does it do? It kind of dulls the key out a little bit. And so as it dulls, it doesn't fit in the lock as tight. It gets a little loose. And man, let me tell you something. I have caused like 6-car pileups in our mailbox place at our apartment because I'm sitting there jiggling the mess out of my key, trying to get it in the hole. Now, after I get it in, I got to jiggle and get it just the right angle to turn it. And then once it opens, I got to shut it and then get it out. And I'm sitting here just shaking the fire out of this thing, trying to get it to work, and it won't work. So Riley's like, here, let me get it. Boom, snap. Powerful. Really good job, man. That was really awesome. That's a big fail on your part. Because I was sitting there, and I was like, now we can't even get our mail. And so I went into her office, and I was like, hey, we need a new key. She's like, why? I said, because this guy right here just broke ours off in the mailbox. Well, how did that happen? Well, first of all, I think you haven't changed the locks, I don't know, in 100 years. And our keys are really dull. And she goes, okay, I understand. We got a couple like that. We'll change it. We'll get you a new key. She goes, just come back in here tomorrow. And I was like, okay, cool. Man, I went there the next morning, got that key, went in there, pow, click, tick, tick, tick. It was so easy. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. But you know what that made me think about? Made me think about our Christian walk. When we first got saved, you know what we were? We were like that key that was just freshly made. And man, when God wanted to use us, He'd put us right in that lock and He could just twist and man, we'd work. We would do whatever God wanted us to do. But all of a sudden, what happens in our Christian walk? We get around a bunch of different other people. We get around a bunch of different keys. And we rub up against some of the wrong people. And we put ourselves in the wrong places. And what happens? Our key begins to become dull. And you know what happens is God then now, He calls you and says, hey, remember that talent I gave you? I needed to use it. And now He can't just pop you in the lock. He's jiggling you. He's having to shake you. He's trying to do everything in the world to get you to work and you won't move. And I'm going to tell you something. You have to stay in your word to stay spiritually sharp. Amen. You have to be able to realize that there's things that God's giving. Let me tell you something. There was a time in my life, and I'm going to be extremely, extremely transparent with you this morning. About 4 years ago, I almost stopped ministry in general. I was playing football at the time and was playing in a great league at home. And things were going really well in my life. I was traveling with the power team every other week. I was playing football every other week. That was not the best schedule in the world. That was horrible. Trying to play football and do the power team at the same time, that was not fun. But a good friend of mine who was an agent, he came up to me and said, hey, he said, you're having a great year. He goes, I got to go to an all-star game, and I got to do all these really cool things. It seemed like football was going really great, and power team was going really great. And he said, hey, he goes, coming up in the next month, I want you to go to some combines. He goes, I'm going to work it out to where we're going to get some guys your videos and some films. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. And so come late November, we were sitting there and teams were getting ready. I got to go do some workouts for some NFL teams. It was probably the greatest experience of my life. Getting to meet some coaches, getting to meet some GMs, getting to run. I mean, it was just like a kid. Hey, run as fast as you can. Hey, go catch this ball. Hey, go do this thing. And I was doing all this. And I mean, I was loving every bit of it. And I was sitting there, and I'll never forget, it was a hard time in my life because, yeah, I was going through some struggles, and man, I was kind of questioning, you know, man, what am I supposed to do? Because I loved playing football, and man, it was going to give me a great future and all this stuff, and I'll never forget, finally a team called the Frankfurt Galaxy, it's a league up in Germany, actually, it's like NFL Europe, and they sent me a fax. My dad actually got the fax, and my dad faxed it to me. I was on the road, and the first thing that I got when I got into there, it was this big Frankfurt Galaxy logo, and it was a contract. And they were going to extend a contract, and I was in my mind, I was like, sweet, finally, all my hard work has paid off. They were connected with the Atlanta Falcon organization. The plans was this: go play in NFL Europe for a couple of weeks, hone in everything that you have, because they called me green talent. They said, if you succeed in the 3 or 4 weeks, we'll fly you over here, and you'll become an Atlanta Falcon. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. And I began to read the rest of the paper, and the best part was at the very end, the money. it showed what the contract in detail, and I was just like, I had never seen, to this day, I'd never seen that on a piece of paper. And I was just like, I literally almost passed out because I was like, are you kidding me? Because there was a signing bonus, and the signing bonus was about as much as I'd made in the last 3 years. And that was instant money. And I was like, praise God. I was already thinking about what I could do with that money. And then it showed the contract money of what I could do. And I was like, man, this is amazing. And in my mind, I said, man, when I get home, I'm going to talk to my mom and dad, talk to my agent. We'll sign this and then we'll get to going. Well, God has a way of working things out. Because as you know, I absolutely love working with young people. I absolutely love doing what I do. And I got home that Monday morning. And we had a scheduled meeting, 2:15. And my mom, she came up to me and she said, hey, you got this letter in the mail. You may want to read it. And I was like, well, I said, just put it on the bed and I'll get my mail after this meeting. She said, no, I'm telling you, you may want to read it now. I said, all right. So we're sitting there in the car on our way to Birmingham, Alabama. And I read this letter right here. It says, dear Matt, first of all, I just want to thank you so much to the power team for all you say and all that you do. You may not remember me or my son, but it's been 3 years since you've come to Pennsylvania. But I'm writing you so that you'll never forget that what you do leaves a mark on lives of young and old. Memories and marks that you'll never know until all you guys get to heaven. My son went to Greenville Elementary, and I'll never forget the day he came home so excited about seeing you guys. He saw posters and heard announcements all week about the assembly. So that Friday, I went to school with him to check out the assembly. What you guys do is amazing, and how you get on their level as young kids just absolutely blew my mind. The feats were great, but what you had to say to these kids was worth my visit, but I wasn't prepared for what was about to happen. You called my son out to help him because he had a Florida Gator t-shirt on, and he jumped out with no hesitation. I was nervous because I knew his condition, but you didn't. You gave him a high five and asked him his name. He proudly responded as loud as he could, Dylan, as most kids do. You asked him what he wanted to be. He said a football player. You turned to him and his friends and asked, how many of you guys think that Dylan will make an awesome football player one day and hopefully be a Florida Gator? From that moment on, it was all a God thing. You talked to him about holding on as tight as you can, no matter what, about to his goals and dreams. And Dylan did with all his might. Now listen, Mom and Dad, this is what we do. In a school assembly, when we talk with young people and we talk to kids, and we go to elementary schools, we'll bring out a kid and we have a towel in our hand. And we'll say, hey, this is going to represent your goal and dream. And we have them hold on as tight as they can. And we try to pull it from them. And then eventually, once they're ready, we pick it up. And usually they'll hang on to that towel. And it's one of the coolest little pictures because here's this little kid. He's holding on with everything that he's got. He's about 3 foot off the ground. Unless Riley's picking him up, he's a foot off the ground. And so they just love the experience. They love it. And so this is what I was doing with Dylan, but listen to this. It says, then you told him to hold on with both hands because you were going to try to take it from him. When you realized he couldn't quite do it, I watched you put your hand in his and you lifted him clear over your head. He's only about 3.5 feet tall, but when his entire class saw how strong you made him look, he felt 7 foot tall. Tears began to roll down my face, and the best was yet to come. You put him down and said, Dylan, I don't care what anyone's ever told you. I don't care what anyone's ever said about you. If you hold on to your goals and dreams with everything that you have, you can become whatever you want to be. Then you put the cherry on top when you said, oh, and by the way, I love the haircut. You look awesome. Now, you will never know, nor did you know, but let me tell you why the power team means so much to me and my family. He looked right up at me with that towel when he sat down. And you gave him and said, Mom, he goes, I don't care if my hair ever grows back. What you didn't know is about 3 months ago, he was diagnosed with leukemia. The doctors are trying to arrest the cancer with chemo. And in the process, Dylan lost all his hair. A week to this day before you guys came, a doctor looked right at me and told me that my son needs to enjoy the rest of his life for the next few months because there was going to give him only 3 to live. The cancer and the chemo was gone. It was going to be too much for his body. But that day you gave my son something to live for. He took that towel everywhere that he went. I couldn't even have him. He wouldn't even let me wash it. He slept with it every single night. And he never would let it go. And that's why I wanted to write to you to say thank you. My son lasted longer than 6 months. He lived 3 more years. And I wanted you to know that even on this hospital bed, as we sit there the other day, no matter what he had his towel in his hand. And in the last days, he said something that made me stronger than I'll ever be. I said, baby, I'm sorry you won't ever be a football player. He said, it's okay, Mom. When I get to heaven, Jesus will heal me. And I'll be just like every other kid. I'll get to play all day with all the other kids in heaven, and I can show them my towel. Matt, I'll never be able to thank you and the power team enough for the impact you guys have made on our lives. So don't ever think what you do is a waste of time for these kids, or they really don't listen. Because that Friday, you changed a young boy's life and a grown woman's. Thank you so much once again. You guys are always in our prayers. One day, you'll get to heaven, and Dylan won't be hard to spot. He'll be the kid with your towel. Love the Brooks family. P.S. Just so you know, I only saw it fitting that on Dylan's tombstone we put in parentheses, I'm still holding on. Let me tell you something. Immediately, I had my dad stop the car. I told him, I said, man, there's no way I can't do this. We stopped, went back to Montgomery, and I called my agent. I said, I as good as this offer is, I can't. He goes, well, what if they offer you more money? I said, it's not about money. You don't understand this. How can I get this through your head? It's not. And he sat there and he said, let me tell you something. He goes, you're never going to be happy. He said, you're going to be the most miserable person in the world. He said, because you're throwing away something that people would love to do. He said, you're throwing away the greatest opportunity. He goes, you realize that 1% of football players get the chance that you're having? And I just simply said, I said, hey, it doesn't matter to me because the impact that God's allowing me to have is a whole lot greater than being a part of that 1%. I would rather do what I do than to be able to say that I lasted in the 1% in the world. And let me tell you something. It's because of that right there, I do what I do. It's because of that story right there. People say, how can you be so passionate about what you do? Well, Dylan absolutely changed my life. If you ever notice, there's always a towel hanging out of my pocket. And that's because a young boy changed my life, and he changed it forever. And let me tell you something. Every day I wake up, every time I have a downtime in my life, every time something happens, I can't help but think of Dylan. And I can't help but think about God. There's no telling how many more Dylans are out there. There's no telling how many more kids are out there that need to be encouraged, and I can't help but love to do what I get to do, because you want to know why? I refuse to tuck away my talents. I refuse to even hide it. I refuse to let go of it. I refuse to say, hey, there's something better. I refuse to try to trade in my talent for somebody else's, because the thing that God's given me is the thing that I know God's gifted me with. And this morning, I simply want to encourage you, Mom and Dad, don't tuck away your talents. Don't tuck away what God's given you. Don't tuck away the gifts and talents that God's given you. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. This morning, I simply want to pray for you as a church. As you sit out there this morning, you may have sat there and you may have said, you know what, I feel like God's gifted me in certain areas. I really feel like God's given me talents. And I don't want to be like that guy that dug his. I don't want to be like that guy that shows up. And when Jesus looks at me, I don't want to be that guy that he's disappointed with, and he says that I was lazy and that I wasn't trustworthy. And I don't want to be that guy. I want to be that guy that God can trust. I want to use my gifts. I want to use my talents, and I want to use it for the further the kingdom of God. Well, this morning, I just want to simply pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just pray for this amazing church, and I pray for this pastor and his family. And Lord, right now, I just ask that you begin to do something, God, that they have never seen before in their life. And God, this morning I ask you to begin to open up doors that have never been opened before. And God, I ask that you just begin to open up the windows of heaven and bless this church more than it's ever been blessed before. God, because of their faith, because of their actions, because of them putting work into their faith, Lord, we've saw 100 people give their life to the Lord this week. And Lord, I ask that you just bless this church for this. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room, young to old. God, whatever it is, they may feel like they don't have a gift, they don't have a talent, but God, I know you've blessed them with one, and God, the Bible even says so. Every single one of us have a gift, every single one of us have a talent, and God, right now, I just pray for boldness to use that talent. And God, I pray for clarity, so God, that they will know exactly what their talent is. And God, I just pray from this day forward that you begin to use them, equip them, and qualify them every single day to be the men and women that you have called them to be. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, before I turn things over to Pastor, I just want to simply just extend one more invitation. I would never, ever, 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 ever preach a message and not give somebody a chance to accept a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't ever want to come to church and just take it for granted that everybody has a relationship with Christ. So as you sit out there this morning, I'm just going to simply ask, I'm going to count to three in a second. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If that's you and you want to say the sinner's prayer this morning and you sit there and you think, well, man, I never realized how important a relationship with God is. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. You know, over 100 people have done that this week. So guess what? You're just going to add to the total and you're just going to add to this city being changed forever. And what a cool day. You know, here it is. Like Pastor's wife said, a date that's supposed to be the world's date, but it could be your date to be the best day of your life. So this morning, as you sit out there and you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior, you've never had a relationship with God, I just want to simply ask, just one time, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand when I get to three. You ready? One, two, three. If that's you in here this morning, anybody in here this morning? Okay, praise God. We know what that's encouraging. That's encouraging. I'm glad. I'm very glad that everybody in here this morning knows that they know that they're on their way to heaven. I'm so glad. Hey, everybody, you can look at me now. You guys can go ahead and open your eyes. You know, I want to say thank you so much. I want to say thank you. Pastor, I went over 3 minutes. I'm sorry. You should have had an alarm on this thing. But you know what? I want to say thank you. You guys have been a blessing to the Power Team all week. You guys have been a blessing to us. And as we pour out, you guys have poured in and poured in. It's been like an even barrel. The more we pour out, it seems like the more you guys pour in. And especially with the food. I mean, I'm telling you, it seems like the more I think I burn off, the more I put in. And I'm like, yeah, I got to go burn more off. And so, but I will say this, you guys have been a blessing. You guys have been amazing. And I have loved every single bit of it. And I want to thank you again, Pastor Jay, and your lovely wife, who obviously is the keeper of the door. That is the coolest necklace I've ever seen. I saw it this morning and I was like, I've never seen a pastor's wife wear the necklace with 1,000 keys on it. And but I was just like surprised you weren't walking around like this. Just like, man, it's help her back out a little bit. But you know what? Thank you guys so much for letting us be here this morning. Pastor Jay, thank you. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.